Hello, 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 radio listeners. You are tuned in to San Antonio's Door of Hope Prayer Center radio broadcast. I am Elder Deborah Newton, founder of San Antonio Door of Hope Prayer Center, and I just want to thank you for listening in today. Please join us every Saturday afternoon right here on Gospel 1480 from 12:30 to 1 p.m. Before we open up with prayer, I would like to thank Gospel 1480 for this opportunity to minister to the multitudes, as well as thanking my listeners and the sponsors, Linda Lee and Moms and Them Entertainment. We also want to thank our supporters. If you would like to be a blessing to this ministry by monetary offerings or word of encouragement, you can contact us at San Antonio Door of Hope Prayer Center. That's at 650 Belmont, San Antonio, Texas, 78202. Our phone number is 210-227-4522. And at this time, I'm going to go ahead and get started in prayer. And then after prayer, I will bring you a beautiful word from the Lord. Heavenly Father, precious Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done, dear God. Let your kingdom advance and be established through preaching, teaching, healing, and deliverance. Let the gates of my life, the gates of the life of those under the sound of my voice, the gates of the city of San Antonio be opened up to you, the King of Glory. Come in. Send forth your angels to usher in your glory. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Father, let the righteousness, peace, and joy of your kingdom be established here in San Antonio. Oh, precious Father, I thank you for loving us so much that you gave your only begotten Son. And I thank you, Father, that you give us to know so many times and so many ways. You show us in many ways how much you love us. Father, remove the something like scales that may be over our eyes that hinder us from seeing how much you love us today. Father, I ask that you lavish your love upon us today. I ask that you lavish your love upon us throughout the week. May we recognize you and the love you have for us. We are yours. And right now, in the name of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I ask that you will bring a hush over the minds and over the ears of the people, that they only hear what the Father is saying today. Oh, it's in Jesus' name. Bless us today, God. Bless us today, and we bless you, we love you, and we honor you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, praise God. You know, it was a couple of weeks ago I was in the office at home, and I didn't have a word, and I said, well, okay, Lord, what do you want to say? And you know, I called God, Dad. I said, Daddy, what do you want to say to us today? And I got quiet because I know that getting quiet gives you the opportunity to hear what he's saying. And what I heard was, I love you. And I hope and I pray that by the time I finish with this message, that you will feel the love of God twirling in your heart. That the love of God will be like a blanket over you today. Oh, that the love of God, you will see his love in many ways in your life today. And again, throughout this week. Now, John 3:16 declares God love. Again, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So praise God. God says again, I love you. Receive this today. Receive this word. This goes against the prevailing notion of God's. Many people think God is angry. We correctly review God as the God of wrath, but we misinterpret the wrath in terms of our humanness rather than his holiness. Thus, we view God as a tyrant, a cosmetic killjoy, an angry parent sitting on his heavenly living room with his divine belt in hand, waiting for the disobedient sinner to come through the door. Others view God as indifferent. They think God does not and cannot care about the world or anyone in it. Others view God in temperament, and some people spend their lives trying to earn God's love. This can produce legalism, which results in either despondency or pride. But it never reveals the true love of God. Now, John 3:16 stands against all these misinterpretations of God's attitude toward us and declares God loves us. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. God personifies love. If it has to do with God, it has to do with love. Anything that has to do with God has to do with love. Listen to this. This is some information I had gotten from the website, and it just goes so well with what we're talking about here, because God says, I love you. Mercy is God's love. It's his forgiving love, mercy. Grace is God's understand love. Peace is God's comforting love. The will of God is God's unearned love. Providence is God's caring love. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is God's proven love. Sanctification is God's nurturing love. Heaven is God's rewarding love. Eternity is God's unending love. Amen. I want to say that again. I got to say it again. Mercy is God's forgiving love. Grace is God's understanding love. Peace is God's comforting love. The will of God is God's unearning love. Providence is God's caring love. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is God's proven love. Sanctification is God's nurturing love. Heaven is God's rewarding love. Eternity is God's unending love. Hallelujah. You know, I have this here, and this is just something that I believe is from the heart of God. And he says to you, my son, my daughter, your name may be Deborah, Lakeisha, Tanya, Wanda. Your name may be Keith, John, Frank, Carlton. But he says, my son, my daughter, you are mine. You are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son. And guess what? I like you. I am well pleased with you. I think happy thoughts about you. My son, my daughter, I delight in you. Do you believe this today? I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, by the Holy Ghost, that you, if there's any blockage in the spiritual ears, dear God, that you would clean it out by the Holy Spirit, that everyone may hear what thus saith the Lord in the name of Jesus. Now, John 14:18, it says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now, our master key here is what? The love of God, the love of our Father. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God the Father wants you to be restored back to what He actually planned. The truth of the Garden of Eden has been sown into your heart. In the garden, you will hear the Father's voice. You will see the Father's face. You will feel the Father's love. You will experience the Father's presence. You will live in the pleasure and delight of the Father. God, by Him making it clear to you that He loves you, He is restoring you back to the actual plan. In the name of Jesus. Now, Matthew 14:18-20 says, Moses pleaded with God and asked Him to forgive his people. His plea revealed several characters of God. The first plea, God is immensely patient. Can you agree? God's love is one promise we can always count on. Do you agree? God forgives again and again and again and again. Can you say that's true? God is merciful, listening to and answering our requests. God has not changed since the day of Moses. Like Moses, we can rely on God's love, His patience, His forgiveness, and His mercy. Now let's look at the orphan's mindset. An orphan's mindset is they are full of fear. They have no security. They don't feel secure. And they have hopelessness. And they have the lack of the infilling of love. But God said He would not leave us as orphans. If you feel like you're insecure, that's one thing that I have come to ask God many times if insecurity comes up in my heart. Lord, I want to feel secure in You. I need Your security. And sometimes we've never even thought about that. Maybe we're actually living out in the area of we have insecurity. So now it's been pointed out, all you got to do is ask. God has, you know, I want to share this story. And I think this is beautiful because it happened with me. Of course, I think it's beautiful because God did it for me. God loved me into living for Him. I'm going to tell you the story of the garage. When my dad had passed in before my dad had passed, I had moved back home and me and my son were staying with my mother and father. And I was confused. I was messed up. And I'm telling you, I was messed up. And I was used to sit in the garage and the garage door would be closed and I would sit close to the washing machine. Let me tell you, God was in that garage. He was with me in my mess. He came for the sick and I was sick. I was definitely sick. And He was there with me in my mess and I would sit maybe 2 feet from a wall and I would just face the wall. Sometimes I have tears in my eyes when I tell these different stories because God is so good and He brought me through a lot. And I would face the wall and I would sit there and I would smoke my cigarettes and I would drink beer and I would have these different love songs on and I was just sinking deeper and deeper in depression and sorrow. And one day my dad, we have a door that the door that enters the garage, it has a window pane so you can see in the garage. And my dad looked and he was standing there and I didn't know he was standing there, but I felt somebody watching me. And when I turned around and I saw my dad and he was walking away and his head was down and it he shook his head like as if my daughter's gone. It's like it was no return. But Jesus, He was there with me in my mess. Let me tell you, God refocused me. He redirected my focus. My focus wasn't on for about, I think it was about 2 or 3 years. But he redirected my focus. My focus wasn't on me. He placed my focus on him. In that garage, God forgave me. In that garage, God healed me. I experienced healing from kidney problems. I experienced healing from, I had an ankle that was just messed up. I experienced all kind of healings. I experienced deliverance. And I used to, again, I told you I was there in my mess. I was bound to alcohol and cigarettes. And God delivered me right there in that garage. That's the place I can tell you where he delivered me. And the day he told me that this is your day, I put everything down because I knew his voice. And also, he taught me how to hear his voice. He developed me into hearing his voice and being obedient to what he would say. So, and you know, one of the things, hearing God's voice, a lot of times we say, well, I have a hard time hearing God. I don't know what he's saying. Well, you got to make the effort to spend time with him. If you make the effort, and this is what I did in that garage. I was in that garage every day after a certain time, after I got off of work. I sat in that garage with God every single day. I didn't miss a day. And it got to the point that one day that I was running late, something had happened, and I was going into the garage a little later, and I heard just so gently and so softly, here she comes. And I know what I heard, and so I act like I didn't hear it because I thought God was making fun of me because I talk a lot. And when I sat down, I still couldn't put it aside that I heard him say, here she comes. And when I finally said, God, I heard that. So what you trying to say, God? I talk too much. But I did not realize that it wasn't about me talking too much. It was about I had an appointment with God and I showed up on a regular basis and he was waiting for me. God will wait on you. If you make the effort to be there with him, this is between you and him. It's called development. And I learned to hear his voice. I learned different signs and symbols, things that he do that I know is him. I learned the resound of his voice, the high and the low of his voice. Because I made the effort to spend time with him. So a few weeks ago when I said, what do you want to say? I said, Daddy, what do you want to say? And he said, I love you. And this word was not for just Deborah. He told me, whatever I give you in the quiet place, in the dark place, he says, I want you to proclaim it out loud. And this is what I'm doing. Because God says, I love you. Receive his love today. Oh, in the name of Jesus. So again, God, he comes and he loved me into living for him. And I wasn't afraid of him because he was so tender. And you know, when God says, the Bible says that God will allure you to the wilderness and speak tenderly unto you, that he's doing some correction. He's correcting those things that have been set in your mindset, those strongholds. He's correcting some stuff. And praise God, you know, God's word is alive and it is true. And I'm so excited about it. Let me say this. I'm going to share a few scriptures with you. These scriptures are true. God's word is alive. I have asked the Father, I said, Father, send forth your angels to minister every word that is being spoken. The Bible says that the angels of the Lord hearkens unto his word. So every scripture that I speak, I expect that the angels are on assignment bringing these words to pass. In your heart, in your surrounding, I'm expecting it in the name of Jesus. Jeremiah, and as I read these, I've made these scriptures personable. I made it to sound God speaking to me, because I had to learn and to know and to develop in knowing that He do love me. And it says, I know you. I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Where is that? Jeremiah 1:5. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by me. You know, one time in my past work experience, I have a very stern look, and sometimes somebody can say it look like I'm mean, but that's just my makeup, you know. And I used to work at the front desk, and people would come right off the elevator. Of course, they're going to see my face. And this one man would come off the elevator, and he would say, smile. And I wasn't mad. I wasn't upset. I wasn't. And he would say, you always look like you're mad and stuff. You look, and he would grieve my spirit. He would grieve my spirit. But by the grace of God, one day I told on him. I went to Daddy and I told him. I said, that man is always talking about how I look, you know. And this is what God told me. He said, Deborah, you are fearfully and wonderfully made by me. So those words could not beat me down anymore. And so this particular day, he got off the elevator. And because of what he said, what Daddy had said to me, then I sure took it back and I used it. And the young man gets off the elevator, and he says the same old thing. And I look him right in his eyes. And I say, you know, God told me I'm fearfully and wonderfully made by him. And that shut him up. He never said that to me again. But to God be the glory. I know that I know I'm fearfully and wonderfully made by God. That's in Psalms 139:14. Matthew 10:30. I have numbered the very hairs on your head. Can you believe that? I do. Matthew 10:30. And then he says, I called you out of darkness into my marvelous light. What kind of darkness have God called you out of? I was so deeply, I was sick and my mind was dark, but God called me out into his marvelous light. And now he uses me today for his glory and for his honor. Because the Bible says what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around for good. And I believe God says this is good concerning Deborah. When I go forth and proclaim his word, when he made me, he said, this is good. And I believe that. Do you believe that? Again, let's say another scripture. I have made you a little lower than the angels and crowned you with glory and honor. Do you believe you have a crown of glory and honor upon you? That's in Psalms 8:5. I have made you in my own image. Genesis 1:25. And when I continue to speak these scriptures over myself, when I continue to read them over myself, it's like me putting on makeup, but I ain't got to put on the makeup because this word is permanent. Makeup is temporary. This word is permanent. Did you hear me? This is permanent. It's not temporary. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. Deuteronomy 28:13. Are you having some struggles right now? And you feel like you are beneath and not above? Do you feel like you're the last and not the head? Well, just say the word of God concerning you. The word of God is true. The word of God will shape your destiny. So speak the word. Amen. This and that one was Deuteronomy 28:13. Listen to this one. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the river, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flame will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. That's Isaiah 43, 2 through 3. We go through some very hard times in life, but God's saying, because he's with us, that none of it's going to overtake us. He said we will go through stuff. He said we will go through the fire. We will go through the flames. We will go through the waters. But to God be the glory, he said it will not take over us, because he is our Lord. He is our God. He is our Savior. Amen. That's Isaiah 43, 2 through 3. Then I look at, see, I have engraved you on the palm of my hand. Your walls are ever before me. Can you believe that? That your walls are ever before God. Isaiah 49, 16. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. Isaiah 66, 13. So if there is sorrow, he's there to comfort you. I love that song that's played when Pastor Ruby Robinson comes in, before she enters in. It says, lean on me and I won't let you fall. God, one time he gave me a visual of these broad shoulders that were sitting. It was someone and they had very broad shoulders and they were right next to me. And I just leaned my head on the shoulders. God says, lean on me. I won't let you fall. Just trust me. I love that song. So I'm tapping my feet every time it come on. Amen. You are the apple of my eye. When God talked about his people being the apple of his eye, that word was for me, because I am his. I am engrafted in, just like you are. You are the apple of God's eye. And when you try to protect your eyes, when something comes toward your eyes, you will swipe right before your face so quickly. When something's coming toward you, you will react and respond when something's coming toward your eyes. That's the same way God is with us. He loves you. Again, I'm going to say it like he said it. I love you. Oh, praise God. And then again here, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Deuteronomy 31, 6. That was the very first word that I grabbed and received, and I have lived and just received that word since when I gave my life to God for real. Then the enemy had tried to tell me that it wasn't going to last because I ain't worth it and so on and so forth. So I went back to Pastor Blue and I told her, I said, this ain't going to last because I keep messing up. I'm going to mess up. It's not going to last. And she said, you don't know? And, you know, when somebody's talking to you about something and they want to get your attention, she said, you really don't know? And when she said it, I sat up in the chair and I began to lean toward her because I wanted to hear what she knew. And she turned the word of God around to me so that I can see it for myself. And it says, God said he would never leave me nor forsake me. That broke down everything that the enemy was trying to say to me. And God said it, and that's it. Well, praise God, I just want you to know, God said, I love you. Heavenly Father, may each and every person under the sound of my voice, may they rest in your love. May they continue to be lavished in your love. May they be blanketed in your love. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.